This is bucket list stuff here. You read about people that climb Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. You read about people that want to travel to North Pole, the Antarctica, want to do something that is exciting and something that means a great deal to them as far as their personal growth or what have you.
I'm telling you, you and I, we need to take the WLS morning show, put them in a couple canoes, and at least do the Des Plaines from at least Wisconsin to maybe, I don't know, maybe Arlington Heights.
God created the internal combustion engine for a reason.
Right.
And quickly thereafter, boat motors. Paul Meinke took a little bit of time and started out in late May with three friends of his, and he went up to Lake Itasca, Minnesota, which is where the mighty Mississippi, the headwaters are.
It's it's narrow enough up there. It's really cool where you can actually traverse the river just by jumping over stones,
and
whatever.
Just step over it.
Yeah.
And 2,200 miles later, and about 70 days later.
All right, this is the end of the Atchafalaya Basin, the Gulf of Mexico over yonder. You are now free to let out appropriate war whoops of joy.
I watched a piece on Channel 11 previously. They're going to have another one tonight with Paul. And my first question, Paul, and thanks for joining John and Ray here on WDLS. Did you guys get a chance to shower very often? Because all four of you looked like mountain men by the time you got down to Baton Rouge.
Not enough. We needed showers frequently, particularly on the lower Mississippi, where the sun was just relentless. And in those rare occasions when we could get a shower and clean our clothes, we would repack them into our dry bags, and the sun would bake them, and we just stunk to high heaven.
I guess the next question is, why?
Well, I kind of always have believed that if you have the ability and you have the time, you ought to push yourself, push the envelope a little bit, see what you can see. You only go around once. All the cliches are there, but they're pretty meaningful. And this was something that I thought about for a long time. I grew up in Rock Island, and I kind of always took the Mississippi for granted. So this was an occasion to get out there with some good friends and learn a lot, see a lot, and we did, and to kind of, I suppose, in my own head, right the wrong of having taken the river for granted. So it was a tremendous learning experience. The scenery, the cultural differences, the reaffirmation that people want to help you. Here's four graybeards, and they look awful and stink to high heaven, so let's help them out.
I don't think people realize how hard it is, you know, just going across a lake in northern Minnesota. And I know you were met with some rollers and some waves, but then once you get into the Mississippi, I mean, I've got to imagine once you get below Minneapolis-St. Paul, which is where the traffic for the commerce comes into play, I have to imagine that there's some wakes, and those tugboats, they churn up some garbage, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. And then we were forewarned when we, you know, you go through all the locks and dams. I had not done that before. And so that's an interesting experience, a little daunting when you first approach the locks. And there's a procedure you go through. We had a marine radio. We would call the lock master, ask permission to go through. And they were wonderfully accommodating. But the whole notion that you're in this chamber, which is like a big bathtub, and then they lower the water and you're holding onto a rope and these big gates open, and it's a little intimidating, but we got used to it. That the issue then became exponentially more difficult when you get south to St. Louis and there are no more locks and dams. It's a free-flowing river with wing dikes and huge, huge tows with, you know, 42 barges on them. And when they push up river, they kick up so much wake that you just start bouncing and you go into these troughs. And it was one point when Tim Clark, Bill Barr were in another canoe, and I lost sight of them because they actually dipped down into a trough and then came back up. So, yeah, pretty freaky. But, you know, we steered clear of them as best we could. There were some times when you had to stay in the channel because the wing dikes put there many years ago by the Army Corps kind of direct the flow of the river. And you don't want to go over those because if the water's low enough, it'll rip the bottom out of your boat.
Paul Meinke is here. ABC7's a longtime journalist. Our longtime journalist, John Dempsey, wants to jump in.
Paul, congratulations on such an amazing achievement. And I know that you have ridden your bicycle from coast to coast, but I thought I read somewhere that you did that twice. Is that true?
Yes. Good morning, John. Thanks for your comments, by the way, along the journey. Appreciate it.
Yes. I asked what was the over-under on the number of deliverance jokes that you had gotten on Facebook. And I never got an answer to that question. But
I'm sorry. I'll answer you now. We played banjo music in our heads a lot.
Things that happen in deliverance are nothing compared to what happens in the bio.
What about the bike ride, Paul? I hear you're going to do another one, maybe?
I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure what form and fashion it's going to take. It will be cross country. I did that twice. I did it in 2012, and then I did the last summer, when I did the Cross America North, it's called. And I'd been to some. I went to some places I'd never seen before. Like, you know, I'd never been to Mount Rushmore before. Riding through the Badlands was a spiritual experience. That was wonderful.
On your left.
So, on your left. On your left.
Paul, just quickly in our remaining moments, you touched on it, but I'd like you to elaborate one more time about the folks that you discovered who would hand over their car keys to allow you guys to go get groceries and said, sure, more good people than bad. If you could just, we could end on a high note there.
Yeah, we were all amazed, and I guess perhaps we shouldn't have been, at the degree of hospitality and support that we found all the way along. We heard, you know, up in Minnesota, they call it Minnesota Nice. Well, it's not limited to boundaries. Everywhere we went, people would come up to us and they would say, boy, you guys look pretty miserable. You need some help. You need water. You need food. We'll drive you to the Piggly Wiggly so you can get your supplies. And they would, like, as you mentioned, there was one occasion when they said, well, here are the keys to our car. Go ahead. Anything you need. Well, we aren't going to get very far in a canoe. They've got their internal combustion engine, but we were just stunned. People were so nice, so gracious, so warm and welcoming. One guy opened his house to us so we could take showers when we really, really needed,
really needed it. It looked like videos I saw. You know, years ago I tried to drive. I had to go to New Orleans and I tried to drive along the Mississippi, and I quickly abandoned that because it takes an extraordinarily long time to do so, just to drive adjacent to the river. I understand what a commitment it was for you and your three buddies. So congratulations. You're going to make a movie out of this, right?
Well, I shot a lot of tape. I've uploaded it. I'm going to work on it. Take me a little while. But, yeah, I'm going to, and I'll probably post it, if it all works out okay, I'll post it to YouTube and see how it works. Well, it was a great experience. Thanks so much.
Before we let you go, one of those tugboats swells or covers something at City Hall. Which is your choice?
I'll take this tugboat.
All right.
I'll take the swells. Okay.
Congratulations, Paul.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Terrific, terrific, terrific job. Great thing. I can't wait to see the film.